Hi, I'm Gio Puyat, and this is Kwentong Creatives, a podcast to get to know the stories, strategies, and lessons of Filipino creatives from different fields. Kwentong Creatives is produced by Anima Podcasts. Okay, so welcome to part two of our episode with the Cinemalaya directors, Jupi Arnaldo and Kev Mayuga. For the last episode, you heard us talk about a lot of general things about what it takes to start a passion project. And in this episode, we're going to go into more detail about these award-winning films. No? So Gitling won Best Screenplay, that's Jopi's film, and Kev's film, When This Is All Over, won Best in Cinematography, Best in Production Design, Best in Original Score. So mga award-winning films to, that we get to really dissect and take audience questions and really hear from the filmmakers themselves on how they executed all these things. So we cover a lot of things here. Hindi naman necessary na napanood mo na yung film para ma-enjoy mo, because they really talk about a lot of creative problem solving. The things we talk about here are working with actors. So Kev talks about his experience working with that ensemble of TikTok influencers, actors, kahit si Sheesh guy, si Jiko, yung Konyo Taho guy was in his ensemble. He talks about working with JK, who was also on the podcast. Very interesting stuff. Jopi naman talks about working with Gabby Padilla. And we talk about collaboration, how it was like to work with the cinematographers, the production designers, the scorers. We talk about location, on how Jopi chose to shoot in Bacolod and Kevin chose this particular building for his film. And we also ended with a nice talk on overcoming imposter syndrome, which I think a lot of us can relate to. These two are first-time filmmakers who, you know, felt a little more confident about their directing skills, and it's just nice to see them at the other end of this process. So, yeah, so I hope you enjoy part two of our episode with Jopi Arnaldo and Kevin Mayuga. Let's continue our audience Q&A segment. So we sourced some questions from listeners of the podcast. I guess most of them who sent questions have seen the films and they're curious about specific stuff about your films. So I guess I'll start it off for Jopi. So let's read this question. Given the many languages, stories, and films, what are some really interesting things you discovered about language in the modern Pinoy context to creating your film? Just to put it in context, like Jopi's film opens with subtitles and very creative use of subtitles, man. Like different color-coded subtitles for different languages and one for a made-up language, which I found such a creative way of using subtitles. Because we often take it for granted, when apparently, oh, subs, it's just whatever is there. But you used it in like a storytelling way. So yeah, just to put some context into that. But I think the question here is, did you discover anything about languages in putting it into a modern Pinoy story?
Ish, a little bit. I guess that I want to explore languages more. I don't think I've really uncovered anything new from the experience of making it, but more of like on a personal level, that it's a topic and a theme that I want to continue exploring. Not just languages and words, but also how to use words on top of an image. Parang one thing I was thinking about throughout the week during Cinemalaya actually was subtitles, like you mentioned, was super important to this film. Can I still play with layering literal languages / literal words on top of an image in a film and use that as to explore that particular dimension? So maybe I'm not answering the question.
No, properly. Yeah, let's keep going here. It's really, really interesting, actually.
So maybe I'm not answering the question in terms of language in itself, but maybe the use of words and language in context of a film is something I want to continue exploring. Because like I have another story involving subtitles and cats and animals. Another film that I wrote na, wherein it works with the subs if it's a Filipino film, but I don't know how to translate it if we brought it to another country, and I found it interesting. So are there more ways that you could use words in film, makes it part of the story that I want to continue being around with some in the future?
The made-up language. Actually, when I was natuwa ako watching the film, kasi I've been reading Tolkien too, like right now. Like I'm in a Tolkien phase. Like it's the first time I'm reading the books. And to reward myself from reading the books, I'll watch the film, the Jackson extended 4K versions in all its glory. I like smoke like a shitload before watching, so I'm like, and anyway, so yeah, Tolkien, who was mentioned in your film too, you know, famously created, you know, the Elvish languages, all the languages of Middle Earth. In your special language in the film, what is the process behind that? Like, did you actually make the language yourself, or?
Yeah, 1 month before filming, pinapagdinan na ako ng producer ng Casey, where is the language for the film? Because in the script, it just says Jamie speak, and then obviously they translated what they're trying to say, so I had to make it. So a month or 2 months before the film, before the final draft, I just got into the mindset of how would someone in high school and college make a particular language that's both simplistic but also deeply personal. So like some of the words are names because the characters associating it with personal people in her life, or even little things like mush, what was it? Like rice was God, because Philippines said rice and whatnot. Or onions are cry yum. So naka hyphenated yan, because it's masarap ang iyak ka. So little stuff like that. It's both simplistic and personal is the way I approach creating a language for this particular thing.
Did you actually make like grammar rules?
Yeah,
and shit?
There was not many rules, but I just translated all the sentences. I had like a little document at home and made sure that I tracked if I used the word I in that language is your name plus me. So Jamie or Mikoto is the way they use I. So I have to track if I use it now, if I created that word already for another sentence, and how do I reuse it and everything.
Oh man.
Wild.
It's wild. okay, so yeah, for Kev naman. So for Kev, in when this is all over, you had so many cool shots, like the long take at the intro or the dream sequences. Parang usually sinasabi kasi sa indie na iwasan yung mga quote-unquote mahal na shots. What's your advice for people who want to pull off similar shots?
Don't listen to them. Do what you want to do. Actually, naging thing namin to try to get as much information, tell a story in as little shots as possible. So that made a bunch of shots longer. Parang also the opening, it kind of challenged me. How much can you tell about this guy in one take? Diba? And so I decided to open it that way. And then even yung mga dream sequences, maybe they look mahal, but I think with an experienced team, you can sort of figure out and collaborate how can we make it look great with the resources that we have. I think coming into it then, parang nag-agree kami, ayaw natin mag-default sa pickpack. I mean, of course, we have to do that when there's like dialogues, shooting the pickpack for people who don't know. It's like pick as in you shoot one person and pack, you shoot the reverse shot.
Usually
the
like other in dialogue scenes.
In dialogue scenes. But because of the nature of our film, we wanted to be as creative as possible with whatever small tools that we had. For example, one of the dream sequences, we literally just put like a big flashlight on a rig of the camera, and Marty, the one who was holding it on her shoulder, was turning it off and on. Ganun lang siya. And like, wow, ang bigat yan, das in off on mo pa siya. I mean, it's just like small creative tricks to go for the things that you want to do. Don't immediately think it's mahal, you can't do it. You can always find a way.
You got Joe P, any experience with shitty rigs with the film?
It's ghosts, I guess. But I guess we did give ourselves a challenge, which gave our ED and our producer a headache when we pitched it. Me and Michael decided, like Michael pitched it first and I super loved it. He said, let's shoot the whole film in one cam, one lens.
Mm.
So the whole film was like
such discipline.
Wow.
And at first, producer ED is like, sigurado ba kayo? Paano yung coverage? Ganyan. And then I explained,
oh, yeah, huh?
The way I wanted to do the film anyway, I'm not gonna need, I can only tell you around two or three sequences that may need a pickpack if we do it, but the rest, I want it one shot or from behind, which will make the hard way harder for the actors. I'm sorry, Gabby and Ken. But give yourself a challenge, kahit mahirap. I guess it helps. It actually helped us during the shoot because we didn't have time. So we only could use one master shot. That's why we had to find the best shot possible that helps convey both the mood and the story and allows our actors to move around and do things properly. So challenge yourselves. yung they say TARG or WUG.
I guess for the technical people out there, like what camera, what lens did you use?
I think you were in Reds.
Yeah, Red. I don't know what my...
You were in the Komodo.
Yeah. Almost rented that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Forgot what lens my was.
It's like a focal length? Was it 35?
30? 35. I don't know, 50. 35 yata siya or 30. I don't know. Michael get mad at me, but I don't remember. I just said yes, sir. I'll follow you.
Let's just put Michael's voice over this and over that question. I guess transition to the next question, kind of on that topic. For Jopi, what did you find most challenging about creating a film that relies so heavily on dialogue and the work of two actors? What was it like preparing your actors for that?
It was really tough because Ken and Gabby met each other face to face for the first time a night before day one. Zoom lang everything else because Ken was busy flying around.
Ken is based in Tokyo.
Japan, Tokyo. But then he came from Slovenia, right? Promising in Slovenia and Japan and went back to the Philippines.
Why has a British accent?
Australian.
He has an Australian accent.
Yeah. Really?
He has an interpreter. He has an Australian accent. His English is pure Australian.
Weird siya makita, no? Okay. As a Japanese man with an accent.
Super. Well, he grew up in Australia?
No, Osaka College in learned English. So, I'm not sure if he learned English or acting, but I went to college in Australia and went back. So Stephanie Ariane is a friend of our producer. Apparently met her in Busan. Casey met her in Busan, I think, or one of the film festivals. So I was asking, hey, do you know anyone we can get? And one day she said she met Ken Yata at an event or something in Japan. Told Casey, so we messaged him on Instagram.
Wow, okay.
Messaged him on Instagram.
Slid into those DMs.
Yep, and said, oh, let's hear it. Pitch it. And then, like, you know. That's it. Just messaged him on Instagram.
He was the second one, not the first one.
Not the first one. Okay lang. Because the age difference also was crucial. It changed the whole context of the film.
Was there like a film you saw where he was in it and then it was like, I don't know?
Black Mirror. He was in Black Mirror. He was in The Wolverine.
No way.
Playtest. Black Mirror playtest.
Holy shit, okay.
He's the scientist about it.
The game developer. And The Wolverine is the young silver samurai. And he was in a film with Alicia Vikander, Earthquake Bird. She even came over and hung out in his apartment. They had dinner with his wife. And the latest is Tetris with Taron Egerton. May mga kwento siya about all these stars.
Dope.
Wow.
Fun, man. Hugh Jackman is really nice. Was all the crew daw.
Grabe. So what was it like preparing them for your story, Gabby and Ken?
They met a day before. Even through Zoom, the man could tell there was chemistry. Thankfully, our first 2 or 3 shooting days, story-wise, was when they were still starting to get to know each other. So at least they progressed properly. Something I didn't really know about my first film nga naman was the progression of chemistry between two characters. So sakto lang na the getting to know each other of them personally as people coincided with getting to know each other as characters. So you can see the organic growth of that. Otherwise, you'd have to develop that and stuff. Thankfully, it worked out.
Did it affect the way you shot the movie? Did you shoot like by sequence? Or
no. I wish we could have shot by sequence. It was just chamba na. The earlier sequences was set during the first 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to become friends and everything. And you could see the progression. Shook it off, the whole thing.
I love that. I love their on-screen chemistry, man. Grab it. Okay, sige. For Kev naman, this one's also about the cast. So the casting choice is very interesting, considering a couple of them are influencers and known TikTok personalities. Their online personas may add or take away from the audience's experience and immersion in the film. Can you elaborate on the director's creative choice for this and how was it different, if ever, directing them?
Specifically for casting the online influencers, I'm not super well versed with the actors and actresses of the Philippines, the mga star magic and things like that. I really don't know. I'm bad at that. I'm bad with mga celebrities, and so I am super always interested in working with non actors. While trying to figure out, should we have an audition? Should we have an open call or something, or watch theater shows, I decided, you know what, why don't we look, my wife, Abby, just said, now, look at this girl, she actually sounds like she's good for this this character you're writing, and I was like, oh, I know, she's theater, and she has an online presence. Then I realized, she just follows her, I think, through Boo. I'm not sure actually, but then and then I started realizing that, oh, I know, why don't we see all these funny characters in our TikTok, IG reels all the time? Baka they're used to being to acting out something. I don't know if this is a canceling thing, but I literally went on TikTok and searched hashtag Konyo TikTok.
You're canceled, sir.
Why would you be canceled? It's a thing. Why though? I know it worked. So I found people like Jiko. Jiko I knew before, but like Shishish guy.
Freaking Jiko, man. Konyo Taho guy, dude. Sobrang naalala ko yung tapioca balls.
Yeah, no. What's that? The taho,
yeah. Bean, soybean curd.
Soybean curd. I was laughing about that. Then I realized, wait lang. He can actually play like my stoner
character. Yeah.
And it ended up being super funny. And then we found Renee, we found Lottie, I've always worked with before the man.
Lottie's from Globe Studios, then, right?
Lottie's from Globe Studios. I'm not going to say her real name, but her screen name is Lottie. She's actually a talented director also. So, there in Globe Studios, we were sort of mentoring her. And I'm glad that she found this thing that she does so well, now directing herself. And she ended up being, you know, a big star. And we're like, si Abby lang yan. Taga Mandalulu lang yan. She's a big star. Casting the influencers, it wasn't like, yeah, sige, so we can get like a big following again. It was more like, I'm looking for people who will fit this personality well without having to act so much. Parang I was looking for somebody who was more natural to the character that we were writing. And bonus na lang yung meron silang following. But we also knew TikTok is not super far different from actually acting on screen. So we knew that we had to workshop them. Because iba yung you're shooting, you're filming yourself in a selfie video on your phone, and then next thing is you're in front of two big ass cameras and like 80 people on set, but that's so different and super makakaba. So we had acting workshops for all of them, not just the influencers but also the theater actors in JK. And see, Brian C
who was also on this podcast.
I was listening to his podcast episode and I thought, oh, see, Brian C, of course.
So Brian was helping your actors, Brian, through the acting.
Brian was the glue, I'd have to say that. He really glued the actors together, and it was also his first time to do an acting workshop, to be the one to do that, and we keep calling it Brian C School of Acting. And ayun, parang naging barkada sila in the process. And by the time that we got on set, everybody already had their own character story. They knew all the backgrounds, what their character would do, so all they could do was just play on set. They didn't have to follow the script so much.
Yeah, I find it interesting how both of your casts are so different. So like, you guys approach directing with your actors in a really different way. Jopi, like yours, see, Kev was directing like an ensemble, right? There was a lot of people. There was even a huge party at one point. For you, there were like 2-3 characters on stage the whole time. And yeah, nga, parang different parang approach at directing actors. And we also had the same acting teacher, but we took the same acting workshop years ago with Sir Eman. What was that like for you, directing in such an intimate space with these two characters?
I'm pretty sure I was just spoiled lang talaga. They're both really, really good and intelligent actors who not only just learned the script lang, but really thought about everything and the nuances of it all. So for me, it was just as simple as, here's of the scene. Ayun bala. We do a first take, see how you feel with it. We'll see where we can go from there. And just having an open conversation with them of how we want to approach it. And most of the time, honestly, they nailed it. Kaagad. It's just more of like, adjusting little bits and pieces here and there for flow-wise or everything, the timing of a rhythm that I was really looking for from all of them. So I was just lucky that they were already really good. So they did most of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, Gabby Padilla is so charming, like so hypnotic on screen, man. How did you end up, did you know this part was for Gabby? Like Jamie was supposed to be
Gabby? I wrote it for Gabby.
Oh, okay.
I had a EBA Zoom series thingy during the pandemic, and Gabby was the actress there. I worked with her one time. And when I was writing the screenplay, which had how many languages? Mahiligay na and stuff in Japanese. And I knew she spoke. I think aside from that, I just really wanted
Gabby,
to work with her.
Gabby speaks Japanese.
No.
Crazy.
She learned. At least she spoke na Ilocos / Hiligay nun. That's one down. I still had to learn Japanese for the film.
She was so convincing, and she did it so well.
Did she just like learn the specific lines, or did she?
The lines, like,
even the grammar and stuff. Diba?
But she had a coach. We got a coach for her to fix it. Kasi, funny story nga. We translated the script. We paid someone to translate the script to Japanese. And 5 months later, after learning it, we found out that it was not well translated. It was technically correct, but not perfect or not well enough for contextually for the conversations. So we had to re-translate it with someone else. Gabby had to relearn most of it in a short amount of time. She still pulled it off. Galing, galing.
Parang mas magaling pa yung Japanese niya kay Ken.
Galing. So yeah, so she learned that. So I had it her in mind. So after I got the email that, hey, you're top 10, you got it. I asked permission from the Cinemalaya mentor, si Quark, can I message them? Can I start asking people to be part of it? I said, yeah. And the first person I messaged, I said, was Gabby, asking her, like, hey, can I pitch this film to you? I don't know what I would have done if she said no.
What did she like watch a bunch of anime or something for months?
Strangely enough, I'm a lot of Asian cinema.
Are you the type of director who wants your actors to say the line verbatim for a script?
I said, change it. I don't care if you edit here and there, just that you get what I'm trying to say. If it's still synonymous with what the goal of the scene is, I don't really mind. Just that what's most natural to you is what I'm after. Whatever sounds most natural to you as a person, also yung hapon ko lagi.
Paano mo nabantayan yung mga? Do you know how to? Do you understand Japanese? You understand?
No, I had an on-set interpreter. May nabantay the whole thing. Si Celine. We would have died without her. So yeah, so she was there checking all the grammar and everything. So after I would take, yeah, it's a good take. I have to look at her like, was it a good take? Did we get this? And sometimes no. Sometimes like a little part we missed the line. And all right, one more.
I'm curious to hear when you premiere in Japan. The actual Japanese audience.
Oh, yeah. Is there a plan to screen in Japan?
I mean, that's the whole. I would love it. I'm sure also Ken would love it. From there.
So I invite ni si Hugh Jackman, no?
Yeah. Or Alicia
Vikander. Wait, so yeah, what were you watching out for, like, on the, if, like, mostly they're back and forth, and
back and forth, emotions.
Emotions, yeah.
Because technically, even though I don't understand naman Japanese, I understand naman what he's saying. Because remember, it's kind of read yung scripts. I know what he's saying in this part, and I could tell naman if he was nailing it, the emotions that I wanted. That's what I was looking out for, talaga. A tempo, a rhythm is what I was mostly weirdly enough obsessed with.
Okay, so we're here in the lead actors. Ikaw naman, Kev, for JK, I think like he was really at the heart of this film. And si Rosemary, like, di ba? Talagang, there was like such a sincere connection there. Ian, what is your approach to directing JK?
Funny story about JK and Jory Bell. When we already had JK as our lead actor, and then for the part of Rosemary, we were looking at two actresses. So one of them was Rosemary. So the first one came in on a Zoom audition, and it was good. It was parang may kilig pa. It was like, actually, they went well. And then si Jory Bell comes in on the next Zoom session with JK, and then it was so awkward. It was tense. Like, I don't know if Jory Bell intended it, but she didn't even say hi. And I'm like, ito yung hinahanap ko. There's this tension, there's this wall, there's this non-connection at first. Oh my God, this is it. So even afterwards, I asked JK, he was like, oh, kamusta tong, ano, kamusta yung audition na yan? He said, okay lang. He was saying that, it's like, okay, yeah, let's get it. So yeah, I mean, okay, and then directing JK, JK really wants to know, loves acting. He keeps saying that. He really wants to create the character. So we created the character together and found that there's so much similarities to it, to him, so much for him to put into from his life into the character of the guy. He mainly follows the lines naman talaga. But same with Jopie, I'm not the type na follow this line. Na if your character, parang pagdating namin sa set, it was like, you know the character more than I do now. We workshop you guys so well. What would you guys do? What would you guys say? But there are some specific story beats that I needed to hit, or specific lines that, okay, this is a joke. You have to say it like this. Same then with Joribel. So on the day one, she had that monologue shot already on after day one.
Really?
Yeah, so day one acting pa lang yun. So it's like, whoa,
that was,
what a warm-up.
That was like the thesis of the film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the thesis nga. And then when she nailed that, I was like, okay, we casted the right we casted the right person. So super happy with them. They eventually got along super well. I mean, JK as a magnetic kind of guy, and Joribel as with her own charm. Parang it was inevitable that they were gonna have this chemistry, but also still work with that same sort of tension that I saw when they first acted together. Na parang may wall, or parang this disconnect that was really what the Guy and Rosemary characters are.
Okay, I have a question here about location. And it just says here, why Bacolod? But maybe I'll start that. Let's jump off in Bacolod. And I also want to ask Kev about his location. But yeah, Jopie.
So it's a film about outsiders a bit. Like even Jamie's character grew up there, but returns. Bacolod obviously is an outsider. And I'm familiar with Bacolod because my family is from there. My family house kami doon, land and stuff. But like, I'm not from there. I wouldn't even say, someone asked me in a interview or something, would you consider yourself a regional filmmaker? And that's a big no, because I'm not from Bacolod. I'm also an outsider looking in. But it's still such a wonderful place. It has memories for me because I grew up, like, summers there. There's a family there. So I just wanted to feature that because it added, like, a texture or another layer to it that I really like. And it also added another language that I really like here because I grew up listening to Ilonggo all around me, all my family. And I love the rhythm of it, how it sounds. And it may not be a deep answer, but I just wanted that sound in my first film. Aside from showcasing, of course, the city and the stuff I saw growing up. Showcasing the stuff I saw growing up and whatnot.
It's like when your parents don't want you to understand what they're saying. Mag-ilonggo sila.
Pero gets ko naman more.
Or pag-galit sila. May tone na galit.
I really wanted to feature that. And it was a great place. So I wanted to see it. I bring people there. And it also on a film level, I guess it looks different when the two characters are walking around the art district there or the open fields as opposed to walking around Legazpi Park lang. It just looks better, I think. It just looks better also as a film for me.
Yeah, but like, what a creative commitment to when you were writing that, because you have to fly everyone to Bacolod, man. Like the whole team, the whole crew.
So you have to host everyone. It's different when you're shooting out of town. But it just worked. It lent, like, the story of the ruins lent so much to the film in itself, which I couldn't have had if I had shot in Manila.
It's amazing, actually. A lot of Cinemalaya films, because the filmmakers are from different provinces, they really do bring in the cast and crew to shoot in their provinces. And parang committed ka talaga to do that for yours.
Yeah, it shows, man. Ikaw naman, Kev, very interesting din sa'yo kasi parang it worked well, almost like logistically, that it was in a building, but it worked so well for the story and for the bias of pandemic, and even the social class analogy. You had people in the basement, you had, you know, the Konyo kids in the rooftop, and then JK somewhere in the middle. Diba? Yeah, tell us what you were thinking about when finding the location.
Yeah, I mean, script level palang, we already knew that we wanted the sort of microcosm or architecture of the Philippine society na parang upper middle and working class, and it because it was a pandemic, so I wanted a pandemic sort of period, so I wanted that to sort of reflect in that location na mafe-feel mo palang yung differences of how it looks in production design, of how even lit it gets. So it super helped that it looks like it's one building, but actually it's three buildings.
Really?
It's all in Makati. Ah. It's in Poblacion. One over here, Lepanto. The other one is Makati Palace Hotel. The other one is Oxford Suites, where the penthouse was shot. But I like how it feels na it is three different sort of worlds in one building. And iba yung reality nila. So that location helped so much in sort of portraying their worlds.
Right. I remember pa, nakita ko sa stories mo yung naglo-location scout kayo eh.
Yeah.
What were you looking for?
We were looking for the roof deck. Our original location that we were thinking of shooting in was in QC. They kind of backed out on us last minute, but for the better because we ended up finding nicer locations. And then when I posted a story, does anyone know a roof deck where we can have a party that we wanted to shoot? And we eventually found that one in Lepanto, which is a shooting location talaga. When I first walk in, you kind of just feel the vibe and like, okay, this is it. I think this we got it. I can imagine the shot here. The scenes are all here. Let's go for it. Tapos, let's just try to connect it on the film.
Okay, right. Sige, there is a question here about things not going your way during the shoot. And we've already talked on ghosts. Can you guys share experiences itong Murphy's Law nga, diba? When something can go wrong, shit will go wrong. What challenges did you guys face? Unexpected challenges did you guys face on set?
Speaking of shit. So, some of the crew kind of drank bad milk.
What?
So, nasira yung mga chan nila, 9, 11 of the boys.
God.
First imagine.
Pangilang araw na to ng shooting?
Day 4, yata.
Bad milk.
An ambulance had to come and make sure everyone was okay.
That happened to us also. As in, one of our interns was like, si Pez was already going around the set making a survey. Have you had diarrhea today or yesterday? Just checking. Tapos yung buong camp dep din namin had like a bad stomach. I don't know if that's a thing.
Like, it's sobrang like, guys, okay po ba kayo? Parang kaya pa ba? Ayun, yeah. Aside from weird ghosty stuff, milk was a problem. Rain was a... When we went on lock check, sunny, subang init. And then, during that 1 week, may konting baha, lakas ng ulan, stuff we didn't expect talaga since so screwed over. Or even the scene in the B&B where they're by, lying down by the pool. Sa background, the real sound of that was buduts and jumbo hot dog because there was a fiesta 2 towns away. So we were in the mountain, so it carried.
Oh my God.
Parang bagay naman.
So Ken was having a hard time having a serious long-ass one take with jumbo hot dog in the background. So we had to play the lang music over it. So that was a challenge. And that was like the last few shots of the film.
Budots and multo sa Bacolod. Ikaw, Kev?
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of challenges, man. I mean, you see the sort of ambition that we wanted to do, how visually striking and playful we wanted it. And daming things that didn't go my way na always I had to trust na it's gonna end up better. If, you know, it's not how I totally envisioned it, but parang if I know that everybody's doing their best, I know this is gonna, might come out better. So our challenges were like I said, we lost our main location. We were just supposed to shoot in one location in QC, and I totally imagined everything in this building. And then losing that sort of imagery in my head was kind of heartbreaking, but we ended up getting better locations, even like actors who backed out because they couldn't have their schedule done. So I had to find other actors who turned out better than was a better fit. Down to like very small things na parang wala na tayong time for the sequence, guys. Or baka can we drop this part? Or maybe this little subplot can't work. Parang there were all these challenges na in my head were like, oh no, I'm getting disappointed. It's not exactly how I imagined it. But I had to trust na if it's not how I imagined it, there's a chance that it might be so much better than I expected. And parang ganun na lang yung ginawa kong mindset. Kasi I don't want to just keep getting hurt and like get disappointed in things and like no. And just snowball from there. It's just like, okay, it's not going our way. But maybe it's gonna be better. Or maybe let's figure out na maybe this is the best that we can do at this moment. So mas ganun yung nangyari.
Okay, so we just have two more questions. Actually, I'll start with Kev na rin. So we have one here for, it's kind of groundbreaking that you had an awesome AI sequence in a Pinoy indie film. So looking back, could you share any insights for people would think about, you know, utilizing new technology in their films in the future?
Embrace new technology. I think we knew that we wanted to do AI because it was something cool and fun. And it not just because we didn't do AI just because it was cool and fun, but we actually wanted to tell a story with it. Hindi lang siya parang IG reel. We actually was an actual story beat that was part of the character sort of development. And learning AI, it was tough. Parang we went through different kinds of programs or apps, and we ended up with Stable Diffusion, which was doing it the hard way, but doing it the right way. And yun, and I think anything that feels like is new and groundbreaking, just learning how to embrace that and learning how to integrate that in a storytelling manner.
Yeah, that was a trip, man.
Yeah, that took us like a whole month to learn na different ways.
What was in the script there? Like,
it was in the script. It literally says ego death. As in, we were figuring it out even while we were shooting. What's the ego death going to look like? Parang, so because people in my crew didn't know what we were shooting, they kind of like drop money in. Like, pero hindi, ako hindi. Kailangan to kasi it's a story beat. I have no other alternative. So we gotta just figure this shit out. And it was the very last thing we plugged into the timeline before we exported it. And it turned out like better than I expected.
I think that definitely parang that film is like says something about what it was like to be a creative for someone in Manila in 2023, diba? You had these personalities online, you had even an AI sequence, diba? Parang galing how it all came together. Okay, so yeah, for Joe P, it was more about food, no? It was interesting on how you featured food in that. Parang sa dami ko din nakilalang people who saw it, other filmmakers, parang nag-crave ng Ilonggo food, ng Bacolo. Kanina lang, before having this interview, nag-order kami ng Bacolo chicken for ano. Tsaka even after the festival, we saw a filmmaker in JT's Manukan. Yun, what is your approach to food? Kasi parang it was not only like nice food shots, but even the way your characters were consuming food and having experiences with it kind of changed as it was the film was progressing.
We use food kasi, aside from like big fan of Ghibli stuff and nice looking food and whatnot. It doesn't matter if you guys speak the same language or not. If it's two strangers can share a good meal, and if it's good food, you're gonna connect over it. And that's why we wanted to use food in that way. To get to know each other, eat something good together. Or if you eat something shitty by yourself, that'll also affect you. Or even just your mood. Talking to someone when you're hungry, as opposed to talking to someone that you just ate something really, really good, is different. And that's kind of like a bridge between people. So that's why we used food as a means to kind of like create the opportunities for these characters to get to know one another. And also, that's one of the big things you do naman in Bacolod is eat. So kind of tied together. And our DOP also wanted to make good food shots that didn't look like advertising shots. But then it has a role part in the film na hindi random food, whatever lang. So that's kind of all came together for that one.
Sa script pa lang nagutom na ako.
So it's kind of script stuff. Mati po ang inasal, sisig. I also thought it's a good way to introduce culture to someone. Like, a Japanese dude eating sisig in isaw as part of an actual story growth thing was important for me. So that's what I wanted to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Let's touch up on that. Like, how were you to each other as in the whole process? Parang you were both filmmakers. We went through the same process. Were you guys, you know, yeah, you said you sent each other the scripts. Would you guys, you know?
Before, kasi, like, even before pandemic, we'd, like, message each other and, like, meet up every few months to, like, so, gagawa ba tayo ng film?
Gagawin mo ngayon. What are you working on?
And so you push each other a bit.
Yeah, it was also ranting to each other na parang, I can't get this film done, ganun. And just, like, constantly. Parang, and then when we got it to the Cinemalaya, it was like, oh, thank God, I have another friend here that I can like talk to and rant about and about my own struggles. And I'm grateful for us being in the same batch because we had somebody na would encourage each other.
Yeah, same. Like being able to send a script to someone I know, it's also a first-time filmmaker, I'm familiar with, really helped a lot. Parang, well, asking for help lang naman talaga. And just ranting or bitching about, like, I have no money. I don't know if I can make this film. Just knowing that and then also being able to talk to someone who's also going through something similar, we're in the same Cinemalaya batch, was immensely helpful because you're there na. All you can do is help your friends, help each other out. There's no, it goes a long, long way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, being able to rant nga lang to someone who's going through the same thing helped a lot to the whole experience. That was really super helpful.
Kahit may nakikinig lang eh, no?
Yeah. Alam nila, also making a film right now.
So, I mean, filmmaking is like a lonely, can be a very lonely process for all that, like, people and collaboration. It can be very lonely. So, it helps to find your kakampis. It helps to find people who stick with you or you just constantly talk to.
Okay, so let's end it for just like one last question. For me, we touched up kanya earlier about both of you getting over, not even getting over, but maybe finding some relief to imposter syndrome. And I guess, you know, being a director on set where everyone looks to you for the final decision, it can take, you know, life experience. It can take so many other things to build confidence in that. And that's why I think it's hard to get over imposter syndrome if you're going to be a filmmaker. So, Yun, what kind of advice would you give to younger storytellers, filmmakers, to push through that imposter syndrome and eventually, you know, find their voice as a filmmaker?
The thing that kept me through it, the advice I'd give myself, is fake it till you make it, like legitimately. Because you have to be kapal na mukha enough to stand in front of an entire crew, some of which were more talented than you, and tell them, this is how we're going to do it. This is my vision. Ito gagawin natin. All directors, whether you're the quiet type or the loud type, you have to have a giant set of balls to be able to talk to all those people and say, this is how we're going to do it. So even if you don't believe it yourself, just fake it. And you're going to get there.
So real. I think when I was even making my short film, I was looking for, like, I was really down. So I'd go on YouTube, advice for filmmakers.
As we do.
So I'd hear from Guillermo del Toro or like Christopher Nolan. Parang the thing that kept me going was what all the stories have already been told, but no one has told it in your voice. Parang being able to sing it the way that you do is what makes it unique. And to me, that was like, what is the most me thing that I can do that no one else has the balls to do? Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be the best thing or the newest thing, but what is most me? The thing that kept me going then was Direk Larisse Guillen, who's like the president of Cinemalaya. I went up to her last year when we were announced and I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this film. I'm so scared. And she said, the goal is that at the end of it, you're able to show the film to your friends and say, that's me. This is me. This film is so me. That's all you need to do. And parang, I held on to that. It went down to every little choice that I made with like collaboration and like editing and different the different choices. Parang I just kept in mind that what is the most me thing I can do? That's all I needed to follow, even if I don't think it's the best or even if I don't think it's groundbreaking. But it's me.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Like what both you guys said, parang siyang antidote then to, you know, if you try to be someone else or, you know, kasi syempre we learn from copying all these, you know, you go on YouTube how to learn, pero if you try to be like Christopher Nolan, you try to be like Guillermo del Toro, parang that would crumble easily when you're trying to tell someone why you're justifying these decisions, diba? So tama, ano, be yourself for sure. Okay, so anything you guys have going on that you want to talk about or
our films? We're not done. Watch our films.
We're gonna be screening, so I'm sure both of our films will pop up.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Follow our Instagram pages. I think that's where we're going to be announcing stuff.
And the pages are
when this is all over.film on Instagram.
And Jopi had to take out his phone.
I'm pretty sure mine is Gitling Phil. Sandali lang. Gitling Phil. Walang dot yata. Walang dot.
Dapat dash.
Oh, no. It's right there. Okay, future screenings. Yeah, guys, thanks for being on the pod.
Super fun. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Yeah,
thank you.
I told you, like, I'm a big fan, and it's like, well, it's crazy. We're here. Crazy that I'm seeing this.
And
it's
their
voice, yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, really appreciate you guys sharing your experience. I'm sure marami pang, like, so many people are in the dark with what this whole process and day-to-day thing is like. So, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Watch your films.
So that was it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Please remember that we really love it when you guys engage with the content and social media. Feel free to tag us in your stories and share anything you've learned about these episodes. We super appreciate it when you guys do that. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Kwentong Creatives and on TikTok at kcreatives.gl.
It isn't in the decks.
No.